This may feel like a class. This is intended to be treated as a sermon. I want to be clear about that right now, which in keeping with 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the laws that are presented in there, we are to be silent unless one of the elders decides I am saying something completely off base and need to be corrected. So that is how we're going to be treating this this evening. So if you have any comments or questions afterward, I will be certainly happy to hear them. Has everyone have a booklet handed out? I believe everyone does. So we are going to look at this particular study, the study on evangelism. Now, one of the things that we need to be whenever we are in these kinds of studies is to be confident. We have the scriptures. We know the scriptures. We have the truth on our side. Really, we should be on the truth side because the truth stands by itself, whether we are on its side or not. But we are on that particular side. And we should be confident in that we know this. And one of the best ways to be confident is to have a particular study and to go through that study. That's why we're going through that today. We're going to be going through these studies. There's three of them. Hopefully we'll finish this first one today. If not, we'll keep going. It is a great study. As I mentioned before, it is a simple study. Anyone can do this, and this is the method, this Back to the Bible studies, that I use for evangelistic purposes. Now, if you have a method of yours that works, please use it. I'm not telling you this is better than what you use. I'm telling you this is what I use, and it works for me. This is how I use it. Maybe it will help you. All of the things that I've accumulated in my short time as a minister. Although it's not just that; it's in my time as being a Christian as well. I've tried to employ all these things and make them together so that they work for me. This will be a combination of things I've learned from the Fishers of Men series, from several evangelists that I've worked under that have had these kinds of studies with people. And I've used illustrations from everybody that I could draw illustrations from that I think are great. And so this is, again, my opinion on what works for me. And if it works for you too, fantastic. If it doesn't, well, you can find something else. All right. So I have on here Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. And that will be one of the verses that we look at later. But it's a passage that I believe many of us are familiar with. God, and at various times and in its various ways, spoke in time past through to the fathers, through the prophets. But in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son. And that's an important verse, an important concept to understand as we are understanding authority and how to teach authority to other people. Here are some acknowledgments first. About these particular studies. They are written by the late Bobby Bates. His widow, Wilma Bates, continues his work. And if you look at the back of this, it has on here Wilma Bates and her address, phone number, and email address if you would like to purchase more. They are not expensive. I bought 50 of these, 50 each, for about $50. So that's 33 cents, essentially, per study. And that's really good. So there is that. Rob Whitaker has also been using these things. He's a huge proponent of these studies. He has talks at PTP. He has lessons on a DVD. I've gone to some of his PTP talks. I've listened to his DVD. And now he works for House to House, Heart to Heart, promoting these evangelistic efforts. And so he's doing this himself, and we could get him, and that would be great. Maybe we should. But if you are lucky enough to make it to PTP, maybe he'll be having another talk. And he's a great one to listen to, and I certainly recommend it. And if you can purchase his DVD called Personal Evangelism, that's really great too. That essentially is basically the same thing as his PTP talk, at least the one that I heard. And so he does seminars now. He goes around and does these kinds of things. And so he has much more inspirational stories than I do. But we essentially are going over similar things. Here are the instructions to this study. Please read the scriptures aloud, and then we will answer the questions together under the scripture references. So, and this is kind of an important thing. You want them to open the book. You want them to open the scripture, to look at what the Bible has to say. And you want them to read it out. You want them to read it. Now, Rob will have everybody in the study read it. And you can do that. I mean, that's one way to do it. I find it good to have the person who's studying to read the scripture for themselves. Now, if they don't quite get something, then you can read it. But it's good to have them read it to start with. And then I usually ask the questions because that are there. So the question, the scripture reference, for instance, the first one is John 8:32. The question, Jesus said, the blank will make you free. And you can easily go through that. Some verses are repeated in these studies, especially the further you go along, because there's so much in each of these individual studies or each of these individual verses that can be applied to different things. And so, for instance, Hebrews 1:1-2, he speaks to us now through his son. How did he speak to the people in time past, through the prophets? And so that's different questions that you can ask about the same kind of verse. So read them again anyway, because it's good to have that set in your mind. All right, so the first few questions. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So Jesus says the truth will make you free, right? John 4:24. That all who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, right? So Jesus tells us we must worship God in spirit and truth. What is truth? John 17:17. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. So God's word is truth. Now going back a little bit, I try to elaborate a little on each of these. The first one here, and I've mentioned this before in sermons, in John 8:32, there are a lot of things that John 8:32 implies. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. First off, it implies that truth exists. That it is out there. That objective truth is something that can be known, and that it exists. It implies that it exists, and it can be known. We can know the truth. And then it implies that we can do something about it. So that is a lot, that defeats a lot of the postmodernism that we have out there that says that everything is subjective, there is no such thing as objective truth. And that verse right there defeats that whole concept, that single verse. And that's fantastic. I love how scripture does things like that. And so the next one, John 17:17, though, I do want to point out, that one says, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Now, it doesn't say God's word, right? So you have to figure it out a little bit. Some people have a Bible with red letters in it. Some don't. So you have to figure out who is the one who's speaking. So sometimes, especially if they don't have red letters, I'll go back to the first couple of verses and say, okay, who's speaking? This is Jesus in his prayer to God the Father. Okay? So you know who's speaking. Sanctify them by your word. He's speaking to God the Father by God's word. God's word is truth. And so sometimes with some of these pronouns, you have to go back a little bit and try to understand what is being said. John 14:23-24. The teaching of Jesus was from God the Father. So we can see verses like that. that help us understand where our teaching comes from. And what you're trying to set up at this point is a chain of revelation. It's called, sometimes we call this the chain of revelation, where you have God is the originator of all truth, God the Father. He speaks to us through His Son, as we see in Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2, that we've already looked at, or have quoted anyway. Today, God speaks to us through who? His Son, which is, sometimes you have to interpret that for people, is Jesus. Okay? So, God the Father communicates His Word, or gives all authority, speaks to us through His Son, and then we'll move on from there. God has given what into the hands of Jesus? God has given, according to that verse, John 3:35, all things. Has given all things into the hands of Jesus. And then Matthew 28:18, another passage that we go to often. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. And now here is where something sticky comes in. Because if you are, I'm using the New King James, and if somebody is using the King James, that says all power in heaven and earth. And so now you might get into a discussion on translations. Now, the problem is, we don't want to get bogged down into a discussion on which is the best translation, because that detracts from the rest of the study. All I say is that the King James is a good translation, or whatever translation that they have. Typically, I say it's a fine translation. And like if it's ESV or even NIV, I might say it's a fine translation. It's okay. We can still use it for the purposes of this study. There just might be some confusion in some of the wording for these things. And the further you get away from word for word, the more confusing it'll get. But anyway, we don't want to get bogged down in that, because that's not the point of the study. So you can say, has all power. Now, what does that mean to have all power? You can help them try to explain that a little bit. It means to have the authority that you have in heaven and earth. And that's what we see there in Matthew 28:18. And then John 17:2, God has authority over all flesh. Now, what you're trying to do now is trying to establish who has the highest authority. And right now, God is the one giving, God the Father is giving Christ all authority over everything. First off, He gives Him all authority over the church, or rather over heaven and earth, and then over all flesh. And then in the next one, we have Ephesians chapter 1, 20 through 23. God has made Jesus to be head over all things to the church. Or to the body, sorry. I get those mixed up, because the next verse says, which is the church, which is his body. Does this mean Jesus has authority, all authority over the church? Yes, it does. So, with this particular verse, you just have to go to 22 and 23. You don't have to go to 20 and 21. But, again, the pronouns. The pronouns can get very tricky in 22 and 23. Because that He has given Him all things. And so you have to be like, well, who's He talking about? And then they're all capitalized. And so that's even more confusing for someone who might, if you've got a New King James. So, going back, you recognize that God the Father has given God the Son, has given Jesus to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. I should have written up there to the church, but that's okay. To the church, which is His body. That'll be important in the second study. So, He has authority over heaven and earth, over all flesh, over the church. And then John 12:48. At judgment, we will be judged by the words of Jesus. Now that is another verse where you might need to go back to the pronouns and try to figure out who's speaking. So that's another thing that we've got to recognize. Because that verse basically says, He has that which is judged. The word I speak to Him will judge Him. And so who is speaking? Well, that's Jesus. So Jesus' words will judge him. All right. John 6:68 is the next one. And this is, of course, the passage where Jesus is talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. And people are like, I can't do that. And they vamoose. They leave. And Jesus is like, are you going to leave too? And Peter's like, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So who has the words of eternal life? Why, that's Jesus. And then here is an application question. And these are important to have these application questions pop up. Should we go to anyone else? To parents, to preachers, relatives, friends, for eternal life? And hopefully, if they understand what's been going on, they'll answer no. Because who has the words of eternal life? Is it mom and dad? Is it my preacher? They only have the words of eternal life insofar as they're teaching the Word of God. And so far as they're teaching the Bible. So where should we go? We should go to Jesus. We should go to the Word of God. And that's, an important concept, because some people just aren't ready to depart from those things. And we need to establish early on that the Bible is what we are looking at. The Bible is what we're looking at. It's not somebody's opinion, but it is Scripture. All right. Now, these next two are interesting. I believe this is the second section. So this is the second section. The Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth. So let's actually turn to these next few, because this is something we've got to look at. John 14:26. So God the Father has given God the Son, has given Jesus all authority, and he speaks through him. So we need to listen to Jesus. Well, how does Jesus speak to us? Well, here we go. John 14:26. If my Bible will turn there. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance things that I said to you. Let's also read John 16:13 while we're here. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So, I'm sure you might be aware of this, but in a lot of places, in various denominations, they will say, oh, well, he's speaking to you. The Holy Spirit will guide you personally and directly into all truth. That is what that passage teaches. And so when they hear a question like the one that's presented up here, it kind of throws them off a little bit. Because they'll take that passage out of context, not considering who Jesus is speaking to. And so the question up here is, did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would teach the apostles all things and bring all that Jesus said into remembrance? When the apostles taught by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were they teaching their own words or the words of Jesus? Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into blank truth. So the question now is the Holy Spirit guiding you directly into all truth, or the apostles? So there's that question. Where did that come from? So what I like to do is preempt that a little bit by looking at the passage itself and looking at the context of who Jesus is speaking to. So I'll go all the way to John 13, toward the end of that chapter, where it says that Peter is there and he's speaking. And then later we see that Thomas is speaking, and then Philip, and then Judas/not Iscariot is speaking. And so we notice that the persons or the people that Jesus is speaking to are the apostles. They are the 12 at this time. I don't think Judas Iscariot was there. But we have at least those 11 people that Jesus is talking to. And so we have to understand that context. Has he guided us into all truth? Well, yeah. He has. But that truth has been already revealed through the scriptures. Right? There's a question that somebody asked, as a preacher one time asked, do we have apostles today? Well, some people say yes and some people say no. And in a sense, they're both right. We have no living apostles today, but we have what the apostles left behind in the writings of Scripture. And so we have those apostles that wrote Scripture for us and have had that authority transferred to them. And so we'll get to that in a second. So we are looking at these particular questions. We want to make sure they realize that they can't rely on their own feelings, essentially, about what God is telling them. Because they think God speaks to them directly. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaching in these passages that God spoke to the apostles and that he's guided them into all truth, and now we have all truth through the written word. So we want to make sure that they are looking to God, to the word of God, instead of what they think God is telling them. And that's an important thing as well. So, did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would teach the apostles all things and bring all that Jesus said into remembrance? Well, if you understand that to mean the apostles, the answer is yes. When the apostles taught by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were they teaching their own words or the words of Jesus? When we look at that passage, we see it's the words of Jesus, right? So Jesus said the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into how much truth? All truth. All truth. So that's another chain in the link of Revelation. We have God the Father, who has given all authority to his Son, speaks through his Son, who has sent the Holy Spirit and has inspired the word through the apostles. And then we'll see what comes after that. Next is Jude 3. Now, this is another interesting question. Jude 3, that he has, that we should contend for the faith that was once for all delivered. It's a long verse, but the point is toward the end. That was once for all delivered. So was the faith delivered in the lifetime of the apostles? Now again, this is a question that people don't really understand. The whole of Scripture was written in the lifetime, or at least the New Testament, was written in the lifetime of the apostles. And here is one of the last books written. Of course, Revelation could have been in there as well. But one of the last books written, was the faith delivered in the lifetime, was once delivered to the saints, past tense. And so we can tell them these things, that Jude was one of the last books. It was once delivered. And so was it done in the lifetime of the apostles? The answer, yes. Since the apostles were guided into all religious truth in their lifetime, there is no religious truth outside of what they wrote down. Should we expect to receive any new revelations today? And then that sets up that application question. Should we expect any new revelations today? And the answer, of course, no. We should not. Despite how many people like to think that there are. There are not. Alright, so next section. The inspired word is our only guide in religion. I think I mentioned this passage Wednesday. John 20, 30 and 31. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that you might have life in his name. So some of these are worded in such a way that you have to go over the verse a couple times. So I believe this one and the next one, you have to go over the verse a couple times to make sure they understand what you're doing. The question has kind of taken out some of the dependent clauses and has taken out some things that are relevant, that are good to have, of course, otherwise it wouldn't be in Scripture, but they're not the point you're trying to get across at this moment. And one of these is here. The thing is, you've got these things are written so that you might believe. Do you need anything else written to believe? No. And the goal is to have life in His name. If you believe these things, you'll have life in His name. And then we see 1 John 5:13. These things are written that you may know you have eternal life. So, man, I love John. He talks about knowing the truth and knowing that you're saved. And it is a fantastic thing to consider that these things are written that you may know you have eternal life. Wow. Even if you're just going through this study with someone, that's got to bring comfort to you as well. And hopefully it'll help the person you're studying with realize that the Scripture is all you need. So, of course, this verse we often quote, Romans 10:17, how does faith come? Comes by hearing the Word of God. A lot of people think, some people think, oh, hearing isn't that crucial. Yes, it is, because some people believe that faith comes through some kind of experience, an experiential faith. But really, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, or having it communicated to you in such a way, such as reading it, because we have it written down now. It wasn't all written down when Paul wrote that. And then we have James 1:21. This is a really fun verse in the King James. I think superfluity of naughtiness, something to that effect, in the King James. And it's still pretty fun in the New King James. But the last part says, the blank that is able to save your soul. So what is able to save your soul in that verse? The implanted word. The implanted word. So, for instance, the word is often likened to the seed, right? But that seed does you no good unless it's been planted. Unless it's been put into your heart, into your soul. And when that happens, that is able to save your soul. Alright. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23. How is one born again? So we look at being born again, being regenerated, and there are a lot of several different passages that talk about being born again. But this particular one tells us we are born again through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. This is another one of those things where you have to take out some of the dependent clauses and help them understand what the verse is saying. So, another commitment question. Should you go to any other source to learn how to be saved? Ideally, they'll say no. And then another great verse. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the men of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, if you have, I can't remember if, because I reworded mine a little bit to fit the New King James. Yours might say, does the Bible thoroughly furnish us for every good work, your study? And that's fine. It means the same thing. Does the Bible thoroughly equip us for every good work? If it's all Scripture that does this, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, well then the answer must be yes. Do we need additional revelations to make us complete? No. Do we need the Book of Mormon to make us complete spiritually? No. Now, if you're talking with a Mormon, if you're studying with a Mormon, they might have some discussions with you on that, but good luck having a study with a Mormon. that'll be difficult. Do we need church traditions, manuals, creed books, or confessions of faith to make us complete spiritually? And by looking at this question, this verse, no, we don't. Now, again, you might need to talk with someone depending on the knowledge level of the individual that you're speaking to, but just hammer this verse. Say this verse tells us we don't need anything else. This is all that we need, the scripture. All right. The inspired section 3, the inspired word is our only guide in religion, continuing on. 2 Peter 1:3. Has God given us all things that pertain to life and godliness? The answer? Yes. Since God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in the Bible, should any other source be used as our religious authority? No. And then I have up here the chain of revelation, which I've kind of been walking you through as we've been having this particular study this evening. But one thing that's good to do is to have some illustrations perhaps already drawn up, or have a piece of paper and draw these illustrations yourself. And here is one that I've put together for this study, but I usually just write it out as for the chain of revelation. We have God the Father. Of course, he has given all authority to Jesus, his Son, who has sent the Holy Spirit, who has inspired the apostles to write the Bible, to write the scripture. That is all we need to be complete spiritually. And we've got that chain of revelation to help us out to understand these things. We're running a little low on time, so I might save the rest of this for next. We've talked about the chain of revelation and how we go on from there. I think I could probably finish it up tonight, but there's two more sections, and the biggest one is coming up. So I want to make sure that we understand these things, and we're up to this point, up to section 4, which is we must not add to or take away from God's word. And of course, that's an important concept as well. All right. We can always use the rest. And then besides, there's plenty of after the study as well to talk about certain things. Because you want to make sure you can check for understanding to make sure they've understood what you just studied. And that's also an important concept as well. So far we've talked about, let's see if I can bring us to the end here, the summary. We have talked about the fact that the teachings of Jesus are from God. Jesus has received all authority. We'll be judged by the teachings of Jesus. The apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit in what they taught and wrote. And the apostles were inspired by the Holy Spirit in what they taught and wrote. No, is that a repeat? That is a repeat. Well, that's fine. It's good enough that I needed to say it again, I guess. But these things are so crucial for someone to understand in order for them to know what the Bible says about something, because if you don't agree on the authority, you will agree on nothing. And there are different tacts, different ways to talk about authority, of course. We could look at the transubstantiation. Transfiguration. The transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 or Mark 9. I can't remember the one in Luke, but we can look at those, talking about how our authority is to Jesus now, not to Moses or Elijah. And that's what we'll talk about a little later as well, when we talk about which law are we under. So take those home with you, bring them next week, and we'll finish this up. Tonight, we are talking about evangelistic studies and how important they are for us to share the gospel with people, and how beneficial they can be in helping us focus so that our studies will produce fruit. So that our studies will at the very least, show someone the truth so that they have a choice then to obey it or not to obey it. And so that's the goal that we've got here, is to present these things in this way. We're not berating them, not beating them over the head with anything, but we are simply showing them what the Bible says. Never, ever apologize for what the Bible says. Because it is the truth, and we should never be sorry for the truth. This evening, because we're looking at these evangelistic studies, we want to make sure that you are a Christian, that you have obeyed the gospel and done what God wants you to do to be saved. If you haven't done that, you've got to do that. And I implore you, please, obey the gospel this evening. If you have done that already and you need to make things right with God in whatever fashion that must take, that needs to take, then you have that chance to do so as well. Please, come forward as we stand and as we sing.